This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. It's news and opinion on flight training. And I'm your host, Mike Shiflett, and we're doing the January 2026 newsletter. And we're going to talk about some things. It's going to take us a little bit to get through this. But so first thing we're going to talk about is me speaking at Redbird Migration, the flight training conference in March. So I have a spot there to speak, and I'm going to be talking about some things, and I'm going to tell you what those are here in a second. The second thing we're rolling out is our online ground instruction that's available at CFI Bootcamp from CFI Bootcamp instructors. So this is remote instruction we do via Zoom to help you get through the boundaries, which you're having struggling with. And our CFIs at CFI Bootcamp are highly skilled in CFI training. And we can also do that for private, instrument, and commercial. We're also rolling out our remote private pilot ground school. So for those of you or someone at the very beginning of their flight training, we've expanded our offerings, and we're offering now a remote private pilot ground program. This program is 8 weeks long and is specifically designed for students who want structured and instructor-led training from day one. Now, this course is offered remotely directly after our power hours, which are on Saturday from noon to 1 Eastern time. So it's right after that. And it's structured in eight-week segments. So the first remote pilot ground school will be held March 7th, 2026 through April 25th, 2026. And we're only opening the initial private pilot ground school to 15 learners. So be sure to send this information to someone you think would benefit if it's not you. And you can register through our website. Go to cfibootcamp.com and you'll see a way to do that. And again, classes from 7th of March, roughly 1:30 Eastern time. Well, at 1:30 Eastern time, and we'll roughly be 75 to 90 minutes via Zoom for each lesson. And now we'll talk about the release of our IFR Smart Study Pro. That's out now. We just released it today, which is the 30th of the month, so January 30th. And what it is, it takes the ACS for Instrument Rating Airplane, and I make audio presentations for each knowledge area, each risk management and skill for every task in the ACS, every one. So you have audio information about what you need to know about that content. I also have video there as well, but it's not, you don't have to see the video. I made it so that you could just listen to the audio. And there are companion PDF files there as well. The next thing we'll talk about is how a localizer works different from a VOR. They share the same indicator, but they don't do the same thing. Then we're going to look at chandelles, a few things you may not have been taught. It's a commercial maneuver. And then I've got three pro tips for you. So with that being said, let's get started. Okay, we're going to look at me speaking at Redbird Migration, a flight training conference in March. So Redbird is going to happen March the 2nd and 3rd in Lakeland, Florida. And this is a conference about and for exclusively flight training. It's also now co-sponsored by Sporties. The event includes morning and lunch keynote speakers, along with breakout sessions. So the breakout sessions are about an hour, and there are several breakout sessions each hour. And also the dinner on the 3rd, the last sort of moment of the show, of the conference, will be where AOPA delivers their excellence awards in flight training for Flight School of the Year region, Flight Instructor of the Year region, that kind of thing will be during that time. So we plan on doing a live power hour from the event during my breakout session. And what I'm going to be talking about is how to teach the hard parts, the hard things in initial CFI training. I'm going to focus on three areas, and they're going to be teaching the fundamentals of instructing, using scenarios and flowcharts to teach ratings and endorsements, and then how to devise lesson plans to teach the same lesson at different levels to different learners. And so that's going to happen there. We don't know the exact date. They will announce that on the 2nd of February, which is coming up soon. But you can find out more information on that by going to Redbird Migration's website. Easy enough to find by just Google Redbird Migration, and you'll find it there. We're also rolling out online ground instruction that's available now at CFI Bootcamp with our instructors. So if you're struggling with something, you want to get a mock oral in, you want to see where you're weak, just get your questions answered about things that are difficult, like the FOI. Like endorsements, like why is this way? Why is it that way? What do I have to know about this? This is the place to do that. You'll be connected directly with one of our instructors. They are not junior instructors. They're not people who just hit the 2-year mark and 200 hours. They are people who have 3,000, 5,000, 16,000 hours of time and lots of instruction. Two of us are former DPEs. Another is a glider CFI, airplane CFI, and a light sport or repairman working on powered parachute. So very diverse crowd of people. One of our other instructors is the assistant chief pilot for a big 141 school, does initial CFI training and standardization there. So these are people who know what's up. So anyway, this is one-to-one instruction and it's live. It's not pre-recorded. And you have access to work with one of our CFI bootcamp instructors. So you can clarify concepts, prep for check rides, fill in knowledge or gaps you may be struggling with. Now, many of our students have used this and continue to use this service to ensure they're kind of poised before arriving in either one of our schools, 7 days classes, or before a check ride or a stage check or something like that. You can get more information on our website, cfibootcamp.com. The other thing we're rolling out is our brand new remote private pilot ground school. So for those of you who know someone who's at the very beginning of their flight training, maybe you, we've expanded our offerings with a remote private pilot ground school offered by us, CFI Bootcamp, with our instructors, the people who really know. So this program is designed specifically for the student pilot who wants structured, instructor-led ground training from day one. And this course is offered remotely, directly after our power hour lessons, which are Saturdays from noon until 1 Eastern time. So it'll be 30 minutes past the power hour ends is when this thing will happen. And it's structured in 8-week segments, so 8 weeks, about 75 to 90 minutes per class. And the first one is going to be held on March the 7th, 2026, and it will end April 25th, 2026. Now, we're only opening the initial private pilot ground school up to 15 learners, so you're going to get some really good one-to-one attention if you attend that one. So be sure to go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and register for this if that's interesting to you, you think you want to do that. It should also cover the knowledge test prep area as well, but it's really centered around content. So you're going to have really good content from this, okay? The next thing we're releasing as of today, which is January 30th, is the IFR Smart Study Pro. It's now released, and so over the past year, we've been developing audio-focused check-ride prep based upon the exact line items in each ACS. We did it for CFI, did it for private pilot, now we're doing it for instrument. So it's audio-based. There is video if you want to watch it, but you don't have to have it. I made it in such a way that I voice out things thinking you only have access to audio. So what I did, I took all the knowledge areas, the risk management, and all the skills, and I voiced out what you need to know about those. And then I created PDF companion guides for each task within the ACS that goes along with those audio files that has images and other sorts of maybe mnemonics or checklists, things that could be useful if you have time to see those. But this is built to go to a lesson, listen to what you're supposed to know about it, or consolidate what you know after a lesson. And then as you get closer to the test, listen to it again and make sure you understand all the content. Okay, so this is what this is. So the IFR Study Pro breaks the instrument ACS in really clear task-based study sessions to help you understand IFR concepts. Now, just like our other Smart Study Pro courses, it's been designed and narrated by a former FAA and CAA, Civil Aviation Authority examiner, that's me, giving you access to exactly what you should be focusing on. So the course is embedded with task-specific companion guides, which we talked about, and audio-accessible files for easy on-the-go learning. And we're offering a 25% discount to our newsletter subscribers. So get on our newsletter, cfibootcamp.com, and claim your discount there, 25%. And of course, if you find any errors or have any comments, you're welcome to send those along to us at info@cfibootcamp.com. Now we'll talk about how a localizer works differently from a VOR, a little IFR-ish here in this segment. Did you know that the localizer has nothing in common with a VOR in how the receiver determines how far angularly you are left or right of course? The CDI shows angular displacement from either the radio we've selected, if you're using a VOR, or the localizer course. Now, the VOR emits two signals. One is a magnetic reference signal when the sweep antenna passes magnetic north, so it's a known location at a fixed RPM, and the other is a sweep signal. Now, the VOR station has either a mechanical rotating antenna or an electronic version. So the modern ones don't have anything really physically rotating. An example of that is by Fort Lauderdale Airport or San Jose International Airport. You can see those. The rest look like bowling pins, the one that actually have a sweeping Limicon antenna in there. Now, when the signal from the antenna sweeps across your VOR antennas on the airplane, both the magnetic north info and the time since the station's antenna passed magnetic north are included in that signal. And this then helps determine the receiver, at least, the radio you're on based upon phase comparison from the time the magnetic north signal started until the time the sweep signal got to you. This indicator can display the angular difference between the radio you're on and the radio or course selected at the top of the indicator within 20 degrees, 10 degrees left, 10 degrees right, from what you have selected at the top, which is called the course index. Now, a localizer is a signal emitted by a group of antennas at the departure end of the runway. It emits a very highly directional signal to the left of the center line and another one to the right of the center line. And the two signals combined, they overlap in the center line, right over the center line. So the antennas have to be aligned very precisely. And the left and right signals also have different tones embedded on them. One is a 90 hertz tone, it's audio, and the other is 150 hertz. And so the left one, for example, would have one of the tones and the right lobe would have the other. So these are in the audio spectrum and can be heard. But fortunately, we don't need to listen to them because we let the receiver decide how to process the CDI. And you can see in this in an image that I have and from the Instrument Flying Handbook sort of what this looks like. Now, if you're on the center line, the receiver hears equal amounts of the left and right signals. That will center the localizer CDI. So if you're left or right of center line, then the receiver will hear more of one signal than the other, causing the CDI to be displaced left or right. So the localizer isn't a radio. It's an entirely different technology. The localizer and VOR just share the same indicator. That's all they have in common. Now, rotating the OBS when using a VOR causes the CDI to change because you're selecting a different radio from the course index that you set. If the localizer is being used, rotating the OBS doesn't change the CDI at all because it's not a radio. Now, as a best practice, the front course of the localizer should be set in the course index. Now, if you're using an HSI, horizontal situation indicator, the localizer course must be at the top of the instrument. If you're flying a back course, set that at the top. If you get that backwards, for example, when flying the front course, you need the back course selected on the top, the HSI will reverse sense. That's the only two times an HSI reverse sense is when you're flying the front course of a localizer with the back course selected or the back course with the front course selected. Now, I have an article on how to use the HSI in another newsletter. In one newsletter this year, we're going to focus on IFR. Okay, the last thing we'll talk about before the pro tips is chandelles. A few things you may not have been taught. So most CFIs teach to bank 30 degrees, then begin pitching and add full power in a fixed pitch propeller airplane. The airplane flying handbook doesn't say full power. It says maximum allowable power. That's because you may exceed the red line on the tack when you add full power. You may do that. You don't want to do that. So you should add power as the airplane is pitched. And as the pitch continues, depending on the altitude and density, it may be possible to reach full throttle without exceeding the red line. Another thing that gets rarely taught is when rolling out of a chandelle initially started to the right or left, which requires the least amount of right rudder. And it's when rolling out of a chandelle that you are performing to the right. And the reason is that during the rollout, you need to apply left aileron to level the wings after a right turn. So when you apply the left aileron, you roll left, but you also create adverse yaw to the right. And the adverse yaw is opposite to the direction of left turning tendencies actually helping you. So that causes a less amount of right rudder to maneuver. Rolling out from a chandelle to the left requires you to use aileron to the right to roll the wings level. And this causes the adverse yaw to be in the same direction as the left turning tendencies. And this will require substantially more right rudder than the other one. Now let's look at our three pro tips and we'll round out the show with those. Number one is to determine the heading that stops you from drifting. So to determine the heading that stops you from drifting on either a localizer or VOR, use the bracketing method or bracketing technique. So turn to an approximate intercept heading that causes the CDI to start correcting in the correct direction. Once a needle centers, then you know that was too far. And so you head back the other way, not quite to the heading you started on because that you're drifting on that heading. So maybe 10 degrees or so to the other side of that one. And then we'll see what happens, see if it drifts again. If it does, go get it. But you know you don't have to use the full correction now. You can use something less. And then once you get it and it comes back, then go back to the heading again that you were on, but not the same heading, a little bit more. So you're bracketing, you're dividing it by half usually to get onto the heading that works and gets you centered. So that's called bracketing. You make smaller and smaller heading changes until you get the heading that keeps the CDI centered. Now, to fly the glide slope, tip number two, always use elevator to adjust the airplane's flight path and maintain the glide slope. Use the throttle to adjust or maintain airspeed. So using the throttle to maintain the glide slope won't work in a heavy airplane because of inertia and momentum. Or it won't work in an airplane that has an engine or engines above the center of gravity, because in those cases, applying power causes a nose down pitching moment. And those of you who are trying to maintain glide path with throttle are relying on the fact of where the CG is to the engine. And that may not be true in all cases, but the fastest way to ever correct the glide path or to change glide path of an airplane is by elevator. Okay, the third thing is you can approximate your distance to the runway if you're flying a 3-degree glide path, which most normal approaches are 3 degrees, some are 4, but mostly 3. And most glide slopes are 3.2 degrees, maybe, but not enough to matter. 3.2, 3 is not enough to matter in this. So if you're on the glide path and your altitude is 3,000 feet, either by looking outside or looking at the your glide slope in the altimeter, 300 feet AGO, I should say, then you're 1 mile from the airport. That's a 3-degree angle. It's that angle inscribes 3 degrees, and it's 1 mile. So you can use that. You can scale it or you can use any multiple of that. So if you're 600 feet and you're on glide path, looks like you're on VASI or you're on the glide slope, then you're 2 miles from the airport. So hopefully that'll give you a little better basis to estimate distance when you're out there. Okay, that's it for this week, this month, I should say. January edition, the 2026 January edition of Flight Training the Way I See It. We'll see you next month. And we're going to have a dedicated IFR show here in one of these months coming up here. I look forward to doing that. Alrighty, see you next time.
This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.